It's a privilege for us to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting us to be here and to share about not only our ministry, but this morning as I share from you, from my heart, from my experience, but also more importantly, from the Word of God. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you care for us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us and to give us hope and a future. And Lord, we know that there are so many people in this world who have no hope and very little future, Lord. They have no idea about Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide and bless as we share the love of Jesus with them. Guide me as I share the Word of God. Lord, may it be honoring and pleasing to you. Lord, we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Joyce and I, we have been 30-plus years now serving in the Philippines. And some of our co-workers from many years ago sometimes would post a picture on Facebook. How many here have Facebook? Lots of people? Okay. And they would post a picture from 50, 60 years ago of some object that they used. And they would ask, who knows what this object was used for? What was the purpose of this object? And, of course, many of the younger generation would have no idea. They would be clueless as to what to do with this. I'm reminded of a young short-term missionary came to the Philippines, and he saw a pop bottle, a soda bottle there with a cap on it. And he kind of looked at it, and he kind of said, how do you open this thing? He had no idea that you could just get a bottle opener and just flip the cap off. It was something new to him, but he had no idea what the purpose of this bottle opener was. This morning, I want to talk about purpose. What is the purpose in life? Why are we here today? Why do we do what we do each day? Why do we go to work and spend so much time at work? Is there a clear purpose for what we do? As a teenager, I had dreams of what I wanted to be when I grew up. And how many of us are watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs? I loved hockey, and my dream was to be a hockey player. And I grew up when there was the original six teams. Now there's so many teams. That was my dream. I thought, okay, when I grew up, I'd love to be a hockey player. But there was a problem. My dad owned a dairy farm. And every day after school, my mom and dad said, you have to come home and you need to do the chores. You need to milk the cows. You need to feed the cows. Well, that was exactly the time when all my friends were playing hockey. They went to hockey practice. They went to hockey games. And I kind of got left behind, and I realized soon that I guess hockey is not going to be my goal in life anymore. That was no longer an issue, a crushed dream. As I grew older, I began to wonder what God's purpose was for me. I began to grow as a Christian. I would read the Bible whenever I had some free time. I had a little New Testament. I helped work on the farm, and I carried this little New Testament with me, and I began to read. And I also began to observe or watch slide presentations of missionaries from our church. Now, I grew up in Coaldale, which is just a short jaunt from here, and we would have slideshows from the Andes Mountains in South America. We would have it from the Congo in Africa. And I was intrigued about life across the world, across the globe. And I was struggling because I was reasoning in my mind that I was too shy. I didn't know how to talk to people. If you talk to people who knew me, they would admit, yeah, Larry was a real shy guy. And in my mind, I was thinking, what does a missionary do? Oh, a missionary goes to faraway places. He talks to strangers. He preaches to strangers. He teaches to strangers. And I reasoned in my mind, that can't be me. I can't do those kind of things. So God, this can't be a good thing. You know, this is not your purpose for me. And I really struggled with that. Even when I went to Bible school, I went to 2 years of Bible school, and I struggled. They had their missions conference, their missions classes, and I just was so interested in those things and was drawn to them. But no, that old feeling came back. You're too shy. You're not good enough to be a missionary. And I sort of came to the thought that since I grew up on a farm, maybe agriculture is what God wanted me to do. I'd get a job in agriculture. So I was facing, as I was growing up, all these questions about what's God's purpose for me in my life. And I think all of us have that question at one time or other. What's my purpose? Why am I here in Canada? Why am I here at this time? And why do I have the circumstances around my life? What does God want me to do? What's God's purpose for me? And I'll get back to my testimony a little bit later. One of the things that I shared with a youth group a couple of weeks ago was about the movie Fiddler on the Roof. How many have watched? Wonderful. There's some people that know about Fiddler on the Roof. I shared it with the youth group there, or the young adults. Not one of them had ever heard of Fiddler on the Roof. I thought, what? Such an iconic movie. Anyways, for those of you who have watched that, you remember Tevye. He's the main character, the father, and he's got all these daughters. And he sings a song called, If I Were a Rich Man. If I were a rich man, I won't have to work hard. He talks to God. Okay, he's a Jew in Russia, Far East Russia, and he's talking to God. And his job is, he's a simple milkman discontented with his work. His horse had broken down, so now he has to pull his cart around, and he's wondering, boy, I wish I could be a rich man. And he says to God, would it be okay if I were a rich man? If I were a wealthy man? How many of us have had thoughts like that? Boy, I wish I could have lots of money. I wish I could be doing something else. I wish... You fill in the blank. when I was in my 20s, before I was married, maybe it was shortly after I was married, my brother came to me and said to me, Larry, he said, I'd like to invite you to come and be a partner with me in buying the family farm. And I thought, whoa, that would be a pretty good, it's a dairy farm, it's pretty established, it would be a good living, a good financial decision. But deep in my heart, I knew by that time, when I was in my 20s, I knew that God was calling me to do something different. God was calling me to go overseas to bring the gospel message to the unreached people of our world, those who have never heard the gospel message. And I turned to my brother and said, sorry, I believe God has a different purpose for me. And God had been working in my life. He had been changing me, doing a real work in my life. Work. That's something we all do every day. It takes a large part of our day or night. It's a part of God's plan and purpose for all of us. About a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, I heard a message from a pastor from the Philippines. And his name is Pastor Ricky. And he had a message, he called it, Why Work Matters. Why do we go to work every day? Why is that so important? Some of what I will share with you today comes from his message. Pastor Ricky, he shared an illustration. He said one time they went to visit some friends, and their friends presented them with a gift. It was two coffee mugs, and the one that was presented to him said, "The Boss," in big letters. And he thought, ha-ha, yeah, that's great, I'm the boss. And then the one presented to his wife said, "The Real Boss." How many have felt that? Yeah. And the joke was that often the husband pretends to be the boss in the family, but the wife is the real boss. The question is, who is the real boss in your life? Who do you really work for? Do you work for yourself, your family, or the wife, your spouse? Do you work to fund all your dreams? Do you work for others? The real boss, the answer should be Jesus. The challenge. And Colossians, it's in your bulletin, Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Paul was writing to the believers in Colossae, and he was telling them some instructions about for different roles in life, for husbands, for wife, for children, for parents, for masters, for slaves. And he said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So I want to point out three things. They use the word all quite often in here. And all your heart, all you do, all for Christ. So let's start with all I do. Whatever you do, why is that important? Why did Paul say, whatever you do? Who do we work for? Let's look at some Bible examples. King David in the Old Testament, Psalm 78, 72 says, David shepherded the people with the integrity of heart, with skillful hands. Okay? So whatever he did, okay, at this time he was a political leader, spiritual leader for Israel, and he shepherded the people with integrity of heart and skillful hands. Noah, we all know that he built the ark, during the flood. Genesis 6, 14 to 22 talks about that, but he says, Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. So David was a leader, Noah was a builder. In Proverbs 31, we find out instructions about a homemaker. They do everything for the Lord. Okay, so if you are a homemaker, you can do all of that for the Lord. How about David as a youth? In 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 35, it says, David kills the lion and the bear who attacked the sheep because the Lord was with him. Do what you do excellently at this time in your life. So whether you're a senior, whether you're middle age, a young adult, a youth, a child, it doesn't matter. Whatever we do, do it excellently for the Lord. Joseph in the Old Testament, where was he? He was in jail. Genesis 39. Even in difficult circumstances, Joseph did everything with excellence. The jailer did not worry because everything was under Joseph's charge. So he was in very uncomfortable circumstances. He was not fulfilling his dream for his life. But God had a different purpose for him. And when he was in jail, he served God excellently. All you do, what does that mean? It could be a big job or a small job, a frontline job, or maybe you work in the background. Nobody sees you. Maybe you're familiar with the work. Maybe it's a new thing to you, unfamiliar. Maybe it's a pleasant job, you really enjoy it, or something that's really unpleasant, you don't really enjoy it. It may be exciting, it could be boring. You could be a full-time worker, or a part-time, or a volunteer. Whatever you do, all that you do, do it excellently. Okay, the second part of Colossians talks about all my heart. Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, or with all your heart. When we do something we really enjoy doing things, working hard, doing our best, because we enjoy it. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. There was a volunteer that once said, I'm just a volunteer. I don't have to do my best, my hardest. Huh. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll share a little story from Pastor Ricky. His son came to the U.S., from the Philippines, and he had a really good job. He was well trained, but when COVID hit, he lost his job. And he was kind of like, okay, what am I going to do? So he went looking around for jobs, and he could not find anything in his area of training. So finally, he did get a job. He went ahead and applied at a hospital. And you know what his job was? Cleaning up bed linens in the COVID ward in a hospital in New York City. Now, I think most of us would say that's not our ideal job that we would want to have. But he had a job. And so he was thankful to God. And he said, these are the reasons why he was thankful. He said, first of all, I have a job. Even though it's not in the area of my training, at least I have a job. I'm getting some income. I'm being busy. Okay. Secondly, he learned to appreciate those who work in the hospital. The nurses, the doctors, those who clean up everything, all those different things that go on in the hospital. He began to appreciate them in ways that he had never done before. He got exercise, pushing these carts around filled with soiled linen. And so he was really thankful. But finally, he was thankful he didn't get COVID. Yeah. Amazingly, if you're working cleaning up bed linens in a COVID ward, he never got COVID. Now, going back to my testimony, there was a time, Joyce and I, we were 13 years in church planting ministry, doing evangelism, discipleship, leadership training. And after 13 years, there was a change in our field, in our country where we were working at. And church planting was going to be focused only on unreached people groups. Now, the Philippines, 14% of Filipinos are evangelical Christians. Now, that's a lot of people, because that's about 15 million people. That's almost half the population of Canada. So you can see that the church in the Philippines is growing fast. They are planting churches, doing a better job than us missionaries could ever have done. And so I thought, okay, what am I going to do? We're not going to be planting churches with them anymore because they already are doing it. So I wasn't sure, what are we going to do next? God gave me a job mentoring church planters and elders. I had that experience in church planting, evangelism, discipleship, training. And so I would, for 4 years, I mentored many of those church leaders that I had been working with previously, helping them grow, helping them to do the ministry. And then the Lord opened up an opportunity. I was asked to become the first personnel director in the area of HR with our office in the Philippines. In that time, there was only a director and his wife and a treasurer, and that's all the office was. But I was asked to be the personnel director, to work with all the applicants that were coming in, the Filipinos that are applying to become missionaries and ready to go. And God gave me a role, a job where I could serve him with my whole heart. I hadn't planned for it, I hadn't sought it out, but God worked that out. And so, whatever we do, let's do it with all our heart. And then next, all for Jesus. Verse 23 says, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay, now the context of this verse is talking about slaves. Okay, slaves in Bible times was a very common thing. And they would, of course, have masters, or human masters, and they would maybe, well, I don't have a good master, so I'm not going to work very hard, or he's a cruel guy, or he's a nice guy. I'm going to work, you know, as much as I have to. But Paul reminds them that we need to work for the Lord. He is the real boss, okay? But we don't want to mess with the Lord. We don't want to mess with God, who is our master, and do a lousy job. Do we do a lousy job at work or at home? Let's do our best for the Lord. Joyce, when we went out to the Philippines, and I've often heard her say this, she says, you know, when I went to the Philippines, I went out to be a missionary. But all I am is a mom. Shortly after we arrived in the Philippines, I think a year and a half later, she was pregnant, and she was raising our three, well, eventually we had three children. She was a homemaker, a mom. She wasn't out doing so many Bible studies. She wasn't connecting with a lot of Filipinos outside the home, but she was doing it for the Lord. And I think that was the important thing that God was looking for. Whatsoever you do, God has a purpose for you. Whatever you are doing, God has a purpose for you. But how do we begin to discover God's purpose? As earlier, I shared that I was extremely shy, but God really began to work in my life. The idea of being a missionary terrified me, and I struggled with it for a number of years. But God used his word. Proverbs 29:25 spoke to me one day in my devotion, said, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I had to replace that fear of talking to people with a trust that, okay, God, if you are leading me to be a missionary, leading me to go out and share the gospel with strangers, you'll be able to do it. Because I don't have the strength to do it. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 became a real life verse, an important life verse for me. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. Previously, I had been leaning on my understanding. I was thinking myself as the shy boy who could not talk to strangers. But God had different ideas. And it says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I began to learn to trust God. I began to find my purpose in life. A final verse that really spoke to me was Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So I needed to lean and learn to offer myself to God. The result, God began to transform me. I began to discover God's purpose as I intentionally offered my body, myself to the Lord, trusting in him. And I learned that there's a higher purpose than I could ever imagine. It all begins when we put our trust in God and offer ourselves to him for his purposes. Finally, I get to our verse, Psalm 67. We read it earlier. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. I think we all like that. We would love to pray that and ask God, bless us, yes. Shine on us. Show us your favor. Give us this, all these good things. But then it goes on, it says, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Okay, so there's a purpose for God blessing us. God's blessing to us is not just so we can have a good life, we can have fun, we can do whatever we want. God wants to bless us for a higher purpose so that we can bring the gospel message to the unreached people of our world, to the nations of the world. How do we do that? Rick Warren wrote, we need to shift from local thinking to global thinking. God is a global God. He has always cared about the entire world. So how can we be used by God to impact the world? Joyce and I, we were goers. We went. But not everybody can be a goer. What about everybody else? Well, there are a couple of other ways to serve God. One is to be a prayer. Not a prayer, but a prayer. Prayer is the most important tool for your mission in the world. That's what Rick Warren said. The most important tool, prayer. What should you pray for? Pray for those who go, for those missionaries, for those teachers who go out and serve. Pray for those who will believe. Paul says, or Jesus said, I pray for those who have yet to believe in my name. Pray for the unreached peoples of our world. And pray for more workers. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Pray for them. Prayer makes you a partner with others around the world. And then senders. Okay, what's a sender? Those who send out workers into the harvest by financial giving, supporting them in practical ways, sending them out. Joyce and I could not go out on our own. We are not independent. We work on a team. We have a team of prayer warriors who pray for us, and we have a team of financial supporters who work with us. Invest in eternity by using your finances to support missions. And God's blessed you. Use your what God has given you to bring the gospel message around the world. God has been good, and we thank the Lord for his goodness. And as you go through this week, think about, why am I here? Why am I doing what I am doing? In all you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Remember that God's blessings are to be used to bring the gospel message to the nations. Joyce and I, we have a sign-up sheet we would put in the back. You'll see a little bit of a display table in the back. If you want to receive our newsletter list, or just put your name and your email address, and we will add you to the list. Thank you for allowing me to share this morning, and just want to close in prayer. Father God, you know our hearts, you know each one of us, and we pray as we go through this week and the weeks, months, years after this, Lord, that we would, whatever we would do with all our heart as unto you. We would seek to please you. We commit ourselves to you, to follow you, and may you go before us this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.